As I was reading this week, I came across a story which painted a picture in my mind. A friend of the author was a woman who had grown up in Toronto in an Orthodox Jewish household. And she said to her friend that her earliest experiences of prayer were like this. Well, I'm going to do it, although you never know. As a young girl, she would wake up to hear her father chanting the early morning prayer in Hebrew. She would crawl out of bed and go to his study, and he would stand there with a tefillin, a little black box with containing in it what we've been reading as our confession for the summer, the Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. You know the words. In Orthodox Jews, they bind it on their foreheads at certain times. So she would come, and he would have this on his head, and with a huge prayer shawl the size of a blanket over his head. So I'm not going to do that. But her father would not miss a beat. He would gather her up in his arms, wrap her up in his prayer shawl, and continue praying. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. These words which I command you today are to be upon your heart. You are to teach them to your children and speak them as you in your house walk in the ways. And as he would pray, he and she would both be wrapped up in the tradition of their people. The author I was reading was a church historian. His name is David Goa. He said it occurred to him several days after this woman shared this story with him that it very well might have been that Jesus himself would have had a similar experience in his childhood. He too would have been raised in a house where the tradition was the same schedule of prayer, morning, afternoon, and evening at sundown, a similar prayer shawl, a similar prayer. And so it's possible that as a tiny child of one or two, Jesus himself might have crawled out of his bed and into his father's presence as he stood praying with a prayer shawl. And after I read his account of this experience that is so different than mine, and I'm sure than yours, most of you, I noticed that in the gospel right before the passage we heard today, the last line was, "And wherever Jesus went, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And all who did so were healed." Now, it's a little bit different. He wouldn't have been the prayer shawl thing quite, but the fringe, the directive is the same. The tradition is connected. It reminds us of where we know God and how it is that God enters our lives. Now, the prayer shawl, we know, is not part of our tradition, and yet the description of it wrapping someone as they say their prayers, it tells the story of an entire people who we would count as our people, our cousins maybe, wrapping themselves as they tell the story of their faith, recounting the goodness of God from the very oldest in the community down to the youngest, being steeped in the goodness of God's own mercy at the same time as you were wrapped in warmth. In my work in Saskatoon, I knew an indigenous man who smudged that way. He would light the sweet grass, surround himself with the smoke as he said his prayers, and his favorite thing was also to have a blanket over his head so that he was enveloped in the smoke and the prayers of his people, and he would sit there and pray for a long time. When he had died after I had known him for many years, he didn't want to smudge at that time, but I brought him the blanket. And I think the blanket and the scent of the sweet grass that had carried his prayers to the Creator for so long gave him comfort in those times. Tradition, it can be like that. Tradition can be passed from generation to generation, and they can be so good at transmitting grace and love and faith and kindness. In the best of worlds, children can grow up surrounded by all of those. Grace from their parents and their community, and love and faith and kindness. They can grow up wrapped in prayer or in God's goodness that's given to people, to children in the midst of their people. As those children learn themselves how to be a good and a faithful human being, it is a lovely image. And I bet there have been times, I bet for all of us, perhaps only moments, maybe not long times, but moments, when we have felt the same, like we have been wrapped up in that experience, when we have known safety or warmth, and through that, we have known the love of God. The love of God has become real to us. And so, in the letter to James, we read, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Rid yourself of all wickedness and welcome with meekness the implanted word in your heart. It's lovely. Creates for me an image of the gentleness that can be in people steeped in faith, the strength of people living in prayer and community. But that picture painted also reveals the reality of this world. Because as much as it is lovely, I am sure that many of us are thinking of the ways that it was not true at various times in our lives. The ways that it wasn't true, right? War can separate families. Residential schools did for a century or more. Stress and work can separate us. Drinking or other addiction, poverty which leaves people incapacitated or even perhaps one parent gone for months or years just to try to make a living or find a safe place. Sometimes it would have been religion that tore families apart. Difference perhaps in religion or maybe just rigidity. As much as tradition or faith can teach us grace, if faith is combined with unkindness or with anger or with the sometimes dreadful realities of human life, it can be hardened into something that becomes part also of something that is dreadful. And so it is that Jesus didn't just speak with fondness of the tradition of the elders. The hand washing was part of his tradition. He grew up with it. It would have reminded generations of people that they were set apart and to be humble in God's sight. And it could have been and was a beautiful and gentle tradition. But if somehow people following it stopped seeing it for that image of humility in God's sight, or started projecting their own anger or hatred or judgment on God so that God became the one who judged, then the beauty of the tradition served only the image of their own imperfection. And it is the same for us. In our disrupted world, hatred can become a god. So, somewhere along the line in his life, as well as Jesus learning the beauty and power of his own Jewish faith, somewhere also he learned that the same faith, like any other, can somehow be a mirror of what is wrong in our humanity. And so he quotes the prophet Isaiah. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And he notes that what defiles us as people is within, not this or that uncleanness that comes from outside. The list he produces of what defiles isn't exhaustive, but it's pretty broad, pretty representative, really. Theft, sex, murder, envy, pride, and seven more. There's no rating of the sins, and there are 12, which is important because 12 is the number of completeness in the tradition. We humans can destroy each other and ourselves completely in so many ways. Right. We too can name the ways. Ways from our own lives, broken promises or greed, war and deceit, violence, physical or sexual abuse, church leaders who have molested thousands of children, words that are so twisted in the ways they are used that we don't even know what is right anymore. This beginning of the season of creation, somewhere out there, there's a prayer from an Orthodox patriarch, Christian Orthodox, that offers confession for the ways that we have betrayed creation. Jesus quotes Isaiah and cuts those misuses of people and words and even faith to the core. He won't have it. The ways faith is used can sometimes be destructive, and Jesus doesn't mince words in saying so. But at the same time, we hear from James, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Welcome with meekness the implanted word. Every generous act can be wrapped in our prayers and our action, like we can be wrapped as we say those prayers. For us, both those realities, both sides are around us. It is important to acknowledge the wrong, but that wrong, it is important to acknowledge, is not all. It's important also to breathe in healing wherever it comes from, our tradition from generations, healing from creation itself as you sit on the side of a lake or a mountain, good people coming together to create community, immersing our own lives and others in prayer or music or song. The words in the letter of James remind us of what so many learned from Jesus during his life, of the grace which encircles us, the gifts which come from above, the wisdom that is passed on to us in tradition. And holding ourselves and our world always in prayer, and offering ourselves and our world up to the care and the grace of God, that itself is a gift of God. Amen.